say. If you afraid, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, let me see you get loose. It's going down for it. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here, of course, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And while the players and the coaches are away, CBD will roll on. And today we will have Adam Kaplan, the ESPN NFL insider, with you at 1:30 p.m. We'll have a very interesting discussion with Kevin O'Connell, the quarterback coach. He addressed the media yesterday. We will hear from him at 2 p.m. At 2:30, it's time for a little fact or fiction, as we are here on the day that the NFL will kick off week 11 of the National Football League season, the last week for byes in the NFL. Of course, the Browns, last year they had the bye in the first week possible, this year in the last week possible, along with the Steelers and two other teams that are off here, as the NFL kicks off tonight with Tennessee at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Matt, how you doing today?
I'm good. I'm excited for tonight to see those Color Rush uniforms, the new unis provided by Nike, and the specifically the Jacksonville Jaguars gold unis, and see how they look on television.
I was very unhappy with the first glance at them.
I think the Tennessee ones are going to be great.
Like burlap sacks.
Yes, Tennessee is going to be very cool, because I think it's kind of like watching North Carolina basketball, and how do you not like the Carolina Blues? Jacksonville, on the other hand, I can understand. I like different. And that's why some of the promos that I've seen aren't essentially because they're shot in different lighting. I want to see how they look on a football field, you know, on the contrast of the grass, especially more than just one guy in Blake Bortles, just the entire team. But I see where you're coming from, but I think it's cool, it's fun, the NFL is a retail juggernaut, and I think that's where we're coming from.
Absolutely. I just saw with Jacksonville, obviously, they have all blacks already. I don't believe that they have an all-teal uniform that they wear.
No, they don't.
That's their color.
But then what would Tennessee wear? All navy?
No, Tennessee wear all Carolina blue.
But teal and Carolina blue are so close, don't you? I think it's too similar. I do.
Then they would wear a navy, or they would wear...
Or how about them in a black?
They could wear a red.
Yeah, they could wear a red, but they'd be stealing the Buffalo Bills' thunder.
Yeah, I don't know. This. I was very unimpressed with what I saw. Blake Bortles looked like he was playing in like a brown paper bag. That's just what I thought. Brown paper bag. All right, so the Browns are away. The players, the coaches, they are off getting their recharging their batteries. And I know they had the mini bye last week, but they're back here. So our Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day are, number one, what adjustments would you make for this team's final six games? Number two, are you tweaking the starting lineup? And number three, what is the biggest area you would be working on to improve? And when you're a 2-8 team, if they answer to number three, there are probably a lot of things that people would be focusing on. And, of course, we want to hear from you about them. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Also, the Hall of Fame fan vote is here. The nominees have been made, and a lot of good people on the list this year who have an opportunity to make it into the Hall of Fame, and you can vote right now. You get to select 25 people if you went to NFL.com/Hall of Fame vote. There's a committee. There's a list of 108 people, and you can select 25 of them. And Matt, you and I can go through and kind of give maybe our top five or our top 10 of the people that are on the list that need to get into the Hall of Fame, and we can go ahead and do that later on in the show here today. But as you talk about your experience with a bye week as a player, let's talk about it in your first season, because that was the only time you were on a losing team in the NFL.
Yes.
What was your mindset during that bye week, and what was, would you say, the mindset of your team overall? What did you hope to accomplish?
First of all, I don't recall what week in the season the bye week was, but to be very honest and transparent, we weren't a very good football team in its entirety. I don't believe that we won consecutive football games at any point to feel good about ourselves. And so, regardless of where the bye week was in having this conversation, it was get the hell out of Dodge, because I just you had a bad taste in your mouth, and for me personally, coming off the success that I had in 2002 with the national championship, going undefeated, you go to San Diego, and we're just a bad football team. And I don't necessarily know if this is going on inside the building in Berea, but, you know, the coaches were coaching angry, you know, kind of coaching at you instead of, like, developing you because they understood that their jobs were on the line, not so much as the players' jobs were on the line because, you know, the turnover is easy with the coaches, but it's not as easy with the players sometimes because of contracts and guaranteed money and so on and so forth. So sure. I just wanted to get away. I don't even recall. I might have come back to Ohio. I'm not 100% sure just because, you know, you lose a day flying, you know, east to, or west to east and east to west. You know, you lose like that half day of travel. And I might have just kind of holed up out there and dove into, you know, beautiful sunny San Diego and really just kind of chilled out and relaxed. And that's why, as I talked yesterday and as we continue to talk throughout this week, is just turn that switch off. You know, turn the football switch off. I wouldn't be surprised. And I know that every bye week, unless I was in a playoff hunt where we were, you know, monitoring someone we were closely ahead of, or someone we were trying to chase and we wanted them to lose over the course of the bye, I didn't turn the TV on. I didn't care I would follow if Ohio State won on a Saturday. That was about it. And I wouldn't watch any NFL football at all during the bye week because it's my one time to almost go back to the offseason where there are no games and you just enjoy your environment, whether it be with your wife and kids or girlfriend or fiance or your family. And as I mentioned with Johnny Manziel, fly back to Texas for 48 hours, dive in with your family, have some great, you know, home-cooked dinners, maybe go out to a nice restaurant, and then get your butt back to Cleveland and get ready for some football.
So it is not in any way, shape, or form. You're not a fan and you're not like, oh, it's cool to actually get to watch football on a Sunday.
That's not where
people are at.
No, and I think, especially not when you're losing. And that's why I said I was very attentive to it when you're in the thick of things from a playoff implication standpoint. You're like, are they going to win? Are they going to lose? Are we going to get that half game back after they beat us? Those types of situations. But in this case, the only thing that you may be in tune to is some type of notification that pops on your phone of a team that you play throughout the remaining six football games. Like, if Big Ben hurt his foot and was out the rest of the season, you know you're not going to see Big Ben in week 17. If Marshawn Lynch and Pete Carroll get into a screaming match and he's suspended for X number of games, you're going to be in tune to that because it's absolutely important to the last six games of the season. But otherwise, you know, you don't care who wins or loses because you're out of the mix. And it's tough to say, but you fall out of love with the game of football when you have a season like it's been so far.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I think I really appreciate it. And certainly when we go through and you do stuff on the grease board and we talk football and X's and O's, but also understanding more of the mindset of the modern athlete than I, you know, understand. And now I was not blessed with the gifts to get as far as everybody playing in the National Football League in any of my sporting endeavors. I can play golf fairly well, but certainly not at a level that would put me out on the PGA Tour. But to just kind of hear the overall mindset that it is different than I would think it was. To me, you know, I just look at it as such a small window opportunity. I mean, when you look at your career, despite some ignoramus saying that, you know, you were there for a cup of coffee, you were there, you know, almost three times the average length of an NFL career.
Right. You're right.
So, and, you know, for most people, though, it's such a short window that in some ways it boggles my mind that you wouldn't just like eat, sleep, and breathe football and film and anything that you could do to extend that longevity and make as much money as possible.
Oh, I understand.
And win.
I understand. But when you're in it, in the thick of it, you feel like it's never going to end. And that's why, in some cases, so many professional athletes, NFL football players in general, because I think, you know, you can hang around both in baseball and the NBA simply because, you know, you can hit the fastball like Pedro Serrano a million miles. Or
no, you can't hit curveball.
You can't teach 6'10", you know, as an NBA player. And in some cases, when I make that analogy, it's the same way that a quarterback who has gone out as a starter and has kind of become known as a backup quarterback can hang in the league and make a lot of money, you know, $2-3 million a year as a backup for 3, 4, 5 more years, where any other position is going to be out of the league in about 18 months. When you're in it, you never feel like it's going to come to an end, and that's why you know, a lot of the former players feel like they're so lost when the game's taken away from them, because you're a creature of habit, which I constantly say. You're around your teammates. You've trained for this since you were a young kid, and all of a sudden it's snatched from your grasp. And that's why you see so many guys fighting towards the end of the career, bouncing from team to team to team to team to team. And I was kind of like, you know, you gave me the lockout after a Super Bowl. It gave me the opportunity to go, do I even want to play? You know, because I'm with my wife and with my kids who were, you know, 3 years old and 1 year old every day. I was falling in love with being a father and falling out of love with the business side of the NFL because it was not a foregone conclusion that I would even go back to Green Bay. So it'd be another team, a different paycheck, fighting, you know, the good fight, which all vets have to do, is leveraging my $1 million or close to $1 million minimum salary versus that, you know, $350,000 undrafted free agent. You get expensive when you get old in the National Football League. And that is, you know, as you build that that roster and you build against, you know, that big number, and a lot of people outside of professional sports, or at least in the NFL in general, they think everybody's a millionaire. And everybody, you know, no.
Sure.
Like, what? I'd probably say 70% of an NFL roster are making minimum salaries. Now, the minimum salaries are hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I get that. But only a few lucky individuals, that 30%, make more than minimum, which would be, you know, $1 million a year to $20 million a year as a star quarterback.
Yes, certainly it is nice when you can get into that rarefied air. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we are going to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Tweet us also as well, at Nathan Zagura, at Browns_daily. And again, here are the questions, our Ohio Business Machine hot topics of the day. What adjustments would you make for the team's final six games? Matt and I will discuss this as well. Are you tweaking the starting lineup? And what's the biggest area you would be working to improve over these final six games? Remember, Adam Kaplan, ESPN NFL Insider, will join us at 1:30. At 2 o'clock, it's From the Podium. Quarterback coach Kevin O'Connell, 2:30. Fact or Fiction. We'll get your calls and your tweets all show long. 216-578-0850. Zagura and Wilhelm. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.